Hi, everyone. Emma and I are continuing to take turns featuring the anti-racism educational resources that we are engaging with each month, because we believe that education leads to open hearts and free voices that are empowered to speak up and fight for change. Our hope is that you will find these resources useful for your education, and that they will also help you to cross the threshold into doing active anti-racism work so that we can create an equitable world together. We love you all. Black Lives Matter. Before I share the book that I'm reading this month, I want to say on behalf of Emma and I that we are deeply saddened by the violent acts of hatred and racism that took the lives of 8 people in Atlanta on March 16th. The victims, their families, and communities are in our thoughts and in our hearts. We stand in solidarity with the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. You matter. As you know, we believe in the power of education. And as a jumping off point, in the show notes, you will find a link to a short video series called We Are Not a Virus, Asian American History by the Immigrant History Initiative, and to an educational website called A Different Asian American Timeline. We also recommend reading and working through Me and White Supremacy by Layla Saad to get help, access resources, and learn about ways that you can help stand up to anti-Asian hate and donate, visit Asian Americans Advancing Justice Georgia. Again, all links are in the show notes. This month, I'm reading a book called One Drop, Shifting the Lens on Race by Dr. Yaba Blay. Here's the book's official description. One Drop challenges narrow perceptions of Blackness as both an identity and lived reality to understand the diversity of what it means to be Black in the U.S. and around the world. What exactly is Blackness, and what does it mean to be Black? Is Blackness a matter of biology or consciousness? Who determines who is Black and who is not? Who's Black, who's not, and who cares? In the United States, a Black person has come to be defined as any person with any known Black ancestry, statutorily referred to as the rule of hypodescendant. This definition of Blackness is more popularly known as the one-drop rule, meaning that a person with any trace of Black ancestry, however small or invisible, cannot be considered white, a method of social order that began almost immediately after the arrival of enslaved Africans in America. By 1910, it was the law in almost all southern states. At the time when the one-drop rule functioned to protect and preserve white racial purity, Blackness was both a matter of biology and the law. One was either Black or white, period. Has the social and political landscape changed 100 years later? One Drop explores the extent to which historical definitions of race continue to shape contemporary racial identities and lived experiences of racial difference. Featuring the perspectives of 60 contributors representing 25 countries and combining candid narratives with striking portraiture, this book provides living testimony to the diversity of Blackness. I highly recommend Dr. Blay's book. Not only is it powerful from an educational and intellectual sense, but is deeply moving and visually striking. The link is in the show notes.
Welcome to the Full Heart, Free Voice Podcast. I'm Emma Veritas. I'm a writer and writing coach for women who want to start writing. And I'm a teacher for women who want to find their true selves again.
And I'm Caitlin Bosshart, a life coach for the multi-passionate at heart and wedding coach for couples planning non-traditional weddings. We read books that inspire you to live with a full heart
and a free voice. Hey everyone, before we get started with today's episode, we have a fun announcement for you. So Caitlin and I have recently opened up our affiliate shop. Our affiliate shop is a library of resources by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and you can find it at wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop. And when you go there, you'll find a list of links to Women Who Run With the Wolves, but also to all of Clarissa Bencola Estes's audio classes that she's done through Sounds True. And when you buy these through these links, you support Clarissa Bencola Estes, you support Sounds True, which is a very cool independent publisher, and you support our podcast because Sounds True has a very generous and amazing affiliate percentage that they give to us whenever you buy something. So it's this beautiful win-win-win, and it's also an opportunity for you to dive deeper into these educational resources. And so I just wanted to ask Caitlin today, Caitlin, what is one thing you have loved about listening to Clarissa Bencola Estes's audio classes?
Well, I think it's, you know, when we are diving in so intimately with her work, and in a way it's like, I don't know about you, but there's been times I'm like, oh, it's Clarissa Bencola Estes. Like there's a little bit of this, like, I don't know, she's like ethereal, I think, in some ways in my mind and in this, but you know, there was something that was so nice is, you know, when I listen to her audios, I get to hear her voice and I get, there's like a sense of her heart and her intention that comes through in a way that, you know, now that I've listened to her voice and how she tells these stories, when I'm reading, I hear her, like her tone and how she kind of explains things. And it gives me a different level of understanding, I think, of the way that she is expressing her ideas and her thoughts and her wisdom. And so that's been one of the coolest things, that it's just like another level of kind of getting to know this author that we are engaging with so intimately and learning from.
And one class I want to tell you about today is called Mother Night. In this class, Dr. Estes teaches us to retrieve our beautiful gifts abandoned in the unconscious through neglect, ignorance, and fear. You can gather with her at the fireside for nearly 10 hours of original teaching stories, poetry, commentary, and her special prayers of blessing over your creative soul. We invite you to go to wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop and click on our special link to purchase this class. Thanks, everyone. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Life School episode for Chapter 11 of Women Who Run with the Wolves, Heat, Retrieving a Sacred Sexuality. In this chapter, Dr. Estes shares her perspective on sacred sexuality, which she calls a woman's heat that is not a state of sexual arousal, but a state of intense sensory awareness that includes, but is not limited to, her sexuality. And she focuses the chapter on the idea of awakening sacred sexuality through raucous laughter over raunchy humor. This is a really fun and funny short chapter. And in the previous book club episode, Caitlin and I explored what sacred sexuality and laughter mean to us. For today's Life School episode, we have invited on a special guest to help us expand our perspective of sacred sexuality and to help us see other ways we can engage in and awaken this aspect of who we are. Before we begin, we absolutely want to acknowledge and appreciate that each person's experience and expression of sexuality is unique and beautifully diverse. And the perspectives we share here on the podcast are very specific points of view. We would absolutely love to hear your perspective, which you can share with us in our podcast community Facebook group, and you can find the link to that in the show notes. Okay, so today our special guest is my very good friend, Gina Puro, who writes gorgeous poetry and musings about self-love, sacred sexuality, grief, and what it means to live consciously in today's world. I invited Gina on the show because she is one of my close friends who talks openly about her experiences with sacred sexuality and what her awakening has meant in her life. And so I thought it would be a great experience for you all, our listeners, to hear a personal account of a sacred sexuality awakening and to also hear some of the tips Gina has for you based on her personal experiences. So, Gina, welcome on the show. I'm so, so excited you're here. And actually, before we started recording, I was telling Gina how I just realized this month is our friendversary month, and we've been friends now for 13 years. Which is crazy to think about.
So crazy.
Gina and I met a long time ago when we were working at a data entry job, and we both wanted to be witchy healers to change the world. We made it.
We made it.
We made it here to this podcast.
So excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me into this conversation.
You're welcome. Okay, so first, what I'd love to know and hear, as much as you're comfortable sharing, is if you could just tell us about your sacred sexuality awakening. Like, what was that experience for you? What happened for you?
Yeah, so this is something that really kind of started to birth for me in the last 5 years. I'm going to be 40 years old this September. So this was, you know, my mid-30s. And it really came out of a deep period of grief. I had a relationship end that I had been in for, I think, over 10 years at that point. So I had been, you know, partnered or attached to someone for basically all of my 20s into my 30s. And that breakup really was a huge disruption, really altered my life in so many ways, as breakups do. And somewhere around that same time, I had also gotten really sick with Lyme disease. So I was really about as disconnected from my body and my sensuality and sexuality as you could get at that point. And my sexuality prior to that had really been, you know, had a lot to do with another person. It was very much outside of me for really my whole life at that point. You know, even if I was, you know, the act, you know, actually having sex or dressing sexy or, you know, dancing sexy or, you know, any of those things were really not for me at that point. So I had a real long, deep period of grieving that relationship and kind of grieving who I was that I had let go of at that point, and really had the opportunity and the space to start to explore myself and, you know, explore what my relationship to my own sexuality was. And I don't even think sensuality was something that I had really thought about or leaned into at that point. So something that was really supportive for me through this grieving process was I was very lucky that I had access to nature right out my back door at that point. So I spent a lot of time just going out into the woods and crying and, you know, laying with trees and just really letting the earth hold me through that time. And that, I think, was the first thing that really started to wake up my senses. So even just things like feeling, you know, taking my shoes off and feeling the earth under my feet. And, you know, as the seasons were changing, really feeling how the different temperatures felt on my skin and the sun on my face and hearing the birds start to sing in the springtime. And these things all really helped me. I think through connecting to Mother Nature helped me to really connect more with myself. And from there, I think movement was another really big part of my practice that started to really connect me more with my sensuality and sexuality. I'd done yoga for many, many years and kept trying to get on the mat because I felt like it would be good for me, you know, to help support me through this time. But I always ended up just, you know, putting on music and dancing and really moving in a way that felt good to me, you know, not for anyone else, you know, or not like in a class where I'm doing the same thing everyone else is doing. I just started to really listen to my own body and let it move the way it wanted to move and just, you know, feel my skin and touch my body and let myself express in a way that I never really had, that was very much just for me and my own pleasure and, you know, just things that were going to really, really feel good to my own senses, my own pleasure. What I started to notice, which was really interesting and I was not expecting, was connecting with myself in this way really opened up my creativity in a way that it never had before. Like I don't know if I'd ever written a poem in my life at this point, and things just started coming out of me, and it was really thrilling because I've always felt like a creative person, but hadn't really fallen into a creative outlet that felt like it was my, you know, my expression. So I just really started writing poetry and just kind of where I was at in life and emotions I was experiencing, and started using social media as a tool to express that, which was really, it was a little scary. Number one, just because I hadn't really expressed openly, and two, just because some of what I was expressing was of a sensual and sexual nature, and I wasn't sure how that would be received, you know, by people in my life. And, you know, that's been a journey, because it's, people have received it in different ways and have gotten different sorts of right. feedback. But it's felt really good to really, because I really love that part of me, and I feel like it's so, you know, precious and powerful. So it's been such a huge creative, like, it just feels like a volcano, which is, it's been so exciting. A couple of years after all of this had started, and I had started, you know, expressing more of my sensuality and sexuality more publicly, I actually joined a burlesque troupe, which was so much fun and so scary. And I was actually thinking about this when I was listening to your last episode and talking about that chapter in the book with, you know, the raunchy humor in relation to sexuality. And there's actually a lot of that in burlesque, which made it really fun and really took the pressure off of, you know, because it was scary. You know, we're up on stage and not wearing many clothes and, you know, dancing in a sexual nature, mm-hmm. which was absolutely terrifying for me. And I think also in some ways uncomfortable for a lot of the audience at first.
Well, can I just also interrupt and say, in the last episode, I was talking about how, like, being from New England, it's a little hard to talk about sex on a podcast. Yes. Because New England is, like, colonized by Puritans, yeah. Literal, like, puritanical society, where, like, if you'd go out to, like, a bar in New Hampshire, people would be, like, just barely tapping their toes yeah. to music. Yeah. Like, really good dance music. People would be standing there just barely moving.
Yes. Yep.
So I love that you didn't just join a burlesque troupe. You joined a burlesque troupe in New Hampshire, which is a whole other ballgame.
Whole other ballgame.
Yeah, I can totally imagine your audience being like, what?
Yes, yeah.
What's happening?
Yes, it was actually really sweet, you know, because it was like small town in New Hampshire, you know, most of us on stage, this was our first time doing it. And I think a lot of people in the audience in New Hampshire, you know, this is their first time attending a burlesque show. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, you know, at first there was like this tension of like, you know, I felt myself not sure how all out to go with it. And I could tell people in the audience weren't sure, like, are we supposed to be screaming? And like, are we supposed to, you know, like catcall, or, you know, like they weren't, like no one was sure what was appropriate, you know. So but we had a number in that act that was, there was a lot of comedy, and, you know, it was really crazy. There was like sheep and a devil and angels, and like it was just really silly and fun and funny. And I feel like that really helped to break the ice, you know, because it's like, it was ridiculous, but sexy and fun. And, you know, so people were laughing. And then they really started to kind of, I think, let their guard down a little bit and just let themselves enjoy it, you know, because
right.
I think for the men, especially, probably it was hard to know, like they probably weren't sure what was appropriate for their expression. And we were nervous, you know, so right. it was so right. interesting. But that humor, that like really raunchy humor, really helped, I think, to get everyone past their inhibitions around it.
I love it. So what I'm hearing in your story is that you started off in grief and physically not feeling well, feeling really disconnected, and just through, it just sounds like you just kind of followed the next thing to do. Like it was, okay, I'm in the woods. I'm just going to go outside in the woods. And then things started to waken up and you started moving. You started writing, sharing yourself publicly. And it all leads up to this gorgeous burlesque experience of actually being out there and being like, yep, this is who I am.
Yeah, and now in hearing you reflect that back, it was really, you know, looking back on it, it was just this sort of like allowing it to happen. You know, it wasn't, there was never a push, or it wasn't the goal, you know, that like, I'm going to connect with my sexuality. Like that wasn't, I don't think it was ever a conscious decision. It was really just that kind of releasing into it and allowing, you know, nature to move through me and the movement to help me connect with myself and my intuition and my physical body. And so it was just this really beautiful unfolding that I'm so grateful for, that it just kind of happened that way.
Yeah. And I think it really does reflect the story in this chapter of Demeter, who the story, if you didn't listen to the previous episode, it was the story, the Greek myth of Persephone and Demeter, but focused on Demeter while she's in her grieving process. Her daughter was gone. She couldn't find her. Spring stops coming to the land. You know, she makes everything barren, this goddess Demeter. And she's in her grief. She gets so tired. She sits by a well and she feels like she just cannot go on anymore. And then in comes this belly goddess Baobo, who's sexy and funny and raunchy, and she gets Demeter going again by making her laugh about raunchy humor. And like, it just sounds like that burlesque moment, and then that's how she is able to just keep going on. And I think your story reflects some of that, with starting off in grief and your awakening being about like coming to that place of just laughing and awakening through these like gorgeous dances.
Yeah.
So Gina, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us, because, you know, after reading the chapter, Caitlin and I both really wanted to hear more from someone like you who's had these experiences, and really you've written about them so beautifully on your Instagram, and they're on your blog, so people can find that in the show notes. And what I'd love to hear now is just, what are some tips you have? So if somebody is thinking, okay, well, I do want to awaken my sexuality, I do want to get to know not just my sexuality, but my sensuality, and understand like this sacred part of who I am, what would you suggest that they do?
Oh, great question. I think one great way to start would be to just engage with your senses in a way that is pleasurable to you. And these can be so really, really simple things. So, you know, massaging a nice oil into your skin, wearing fabrics that feel really nice on your body. You know, I remember you mentioned roses, you know, buying yourself some flowers that are both visually gorgeous and they smell amazing. Just any, you know, it can be really, really small things. Just making sure to make some space each day to find pleasure and do things that are pleasurable. You know, even just if you have breakfast, cut up some really juicy fruit and smell it, touch it, taste it. Just really take that time.
Yeah, I love that. Just actively looking for what's something pleasurable to add into your day. And I used to have actually a lot of trouble with this because if you asked me what pleasurable thing I could do, you know, there was a time where I had no idea. So I love your suggestions of thinking about like just wearing like a fabric that feels good. I think that's such a good idea for just what you wear in your day to feel good with the fabric that touches your body.
Yeah, it can be very small, simple things during your day. And I know sometimes we have really hectic, busy days where it feels like absolutely nothing could feel pleasurable, but there's always something, you know, as simple as the fabric on your skin that can help you to really feel good and connect. A second thing would be movement. And that can be, you know, going for a walk, it can be dancing, it can be yoga, you know, whatever is going to get your body moving in a way that you enjoy, you know, that you find pleasurable. And I like to, you know, if you have the space to do it, you know, I really enjoy just putting on music and moving, you know, not dancing per se in a way that would be fun for someone else to watch, but just moving my body the way it feels good and kind of letting my body lead the way and letting myself touch my body, you know, touch my skin. You know, it can be just completely sensual. It can be sexual, you know, however you want to let it flow, you know, and just really let your body lead the way. But, you know, kind of romance yourself too if you have the space, you know, light some candles, put on some nice music, have some massage oils, and just let your body move. That's one of my favorite sensual practices to do. A third thing would be getting out into nature as much as you're able to. If you are lucky enough to have access, you know, out your back door to nature and you can get out there on a regular basis, maybe even find a nice sit spot that you can kind of come back to and develop a relationship with is fantastic. If you have the privacy to be naked in nature, that's wonderful. And I know not everyone has access to that. So, you know, even if you can get out to a park or, you know, if there's a really sweet tree, you know, growing up out of the sidewalk near where you live or even just taking nature inside to you, you know, buy yourself some flowers or just find some way to get that connection with Mother Earth can be a really beautiful, powerful practice.
Yeah, I love that. You know, sometimes like when I was living in more suburban areas, I would sometimes meditate quietly and just try to imagine the earth underneath all the things, like underneath all the pavement, underneath everything, because at that point, especially super urban places, it's like the earth is underground.
Yeah.
It's underneath. And so I a lot of times would just try to quietly think about all the soil, all the dirt, everything underground.
Yeah. You can, I mean, even if you know, it's wonderful if you can have your feet directly, you know, in the dirt, but if not, you know, the earth is holding us no matter where we are.
Yeah, I love those tips. They're just all gorgeous suggestions. And, you know, as I was listening to you talk and I was thinking about, like, why do this, right? Like, why focus on sacred sexuality? Why pursue this? Why do these tips? And for me, what I'm thinking about is as I listened to your story, I was like, oh, this journey for Gina, it's really helped her live with a full heart and a free voice, which is what our podcast is all about, Full Heart, Free Voice Podcast. And to wrap things up, I was just wondering if you could tell us, like, how did this awakening for you, in your own words, like, how did it help you to live with a full heart and a free voice?
Yeah, I feel like my sexuality and my sensuality is really, it just feels like my creative life force, you know, it feels like just part of my true essence. And I think for a lot of us, it's something that has been suppressed, you know, for a very long time in many different ways, both for ourselves and the expression of it. So I think that connecting with that part of me and that energy and that life force really just opened me up in so many ways that I think it almost became impossible not to find my voice through that. You know, I just was kind of overflowing at that point. So, you know, the finding my voice and the expression of that just almost felt like the natural next step. Like, I don't think there was any stopping it at that point.
Like, your heart was so full, it had to go up and connect to your voice. And for me, that's so much of what I think about self-expression. I think it's this bridge between like the body, like what's in you just coming out into the world. And I love the idea that you went through this healing journey, this internal healing journey, where at the end it culminated in like it was so overflowing, it just had to come out and it had to be expressed some way in the world. I love
that. Yeah.
Okay, everyone. So that's our episode. Thank you again to Gina for coming on and just sharing your amazing story and your tips and reflecting on sacred sexuality in your life. That's amazing. I love that our podcast can be part of your self-expression, which is so cool. And if you want to read Gina's work, you can go to her website at ginapuro.com, and the link will be in the show notes. And you can also listen to one of Gina's blog posts, because in our podcast episode number 19, we read some joyous body letters from listeners, and I actually read one of Gina's posts, which is about her burlesque dancing there. So you can go back to episode 19 and listen to that. And as always, if you loved this episode, we ask you just to subscribe, leave us a review in your favorite podcast player, and let us know what you learned. What was your favorite aha moment? This episode was produced by Emma Veritas and Caitlin Bosshart. You can find out more about me, Emma, at my website, wildauthenticity.com, where you can also download your free workbook, 3 Habits to Calm Your Fear and Get You Writing.
And you can find out more about me, Caitlin, at my website, caitlinbosshart.com, and on Instagram at caitlin_bosshart. The nicest thing that you can do for us is to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player.
To stay connected with us, join the conversation in our Facebook group, follow along with us on Instagram, and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You'll find all the links in our show notes.
A special thank you to the amazing artists whose music is featured in our podcast, Wally Ingram, Stevie Black, and Tom Freund. You heard portions of their tracks, Shine a Light, and Who Do You Love, from their record Spa Day.
And thanks to Caitlin Bosshart for creating our beautiful cover art. And thank you to Kirit Basu for all his audio and technical help.
And a huge thank you to Emma Veritas for her editing magic. Last but not least, thank you to you, our listeners.